This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We talked housing and the financial crisis yesterday on the program with the CEO of the mortgage giant, Fannie Mae. If you happen to have missed it, by the way, it is on our daily podcast that we do. The interview was part of our year-long coverage of the 10th anniversary of the near collapse of the American economy. Divided decade, we're calling it. 10 years ago this week, the American housing market posted its biggest year-over-year drop since 1973. The housing crisis was in full effect. The spillovers into the financial system were coming. And even though we didn't know it at the time, we were already then a month into the Great Recession. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore takes us back to the days that led up to it all.
The housing crisis, in many ways, started in people's heads. You could say in their hearts, however you want to say it. As this century began, people felt great about housing.
Oh, it was so hot.
Heidi Kisama is a longtime realtor in Las Vegas and president of the Nevada Realtors Association.
Literally, I remember one time I was entering a listing into the computer and the phone rang, I'm not kidding, less than a minute after I hit enter, and somebody asked me, is it still available? That's how frantic people were.
Home prices were rising really fast and had been for years. Chris Bishop is also a realtor. He heads the Greater Las Vegas Association of Realtors. He'd just begun his career back in 05.
All of the market reports, all of the media coverage, everything was talking about how great the real estate market was, what a great opportunity it was. You know, if you're not doing it, you should be. And everyone was investing in real estate. Literally every person I knew.
People's feelings, their enthusiasm, created something almost like a collective hallucination, but one that felt very real.
Delinquencies were extremely low.
Mark Willis is senior policy fellow at NYU's Furman Center. Delinquencies were low because whenever someone couldn't afford their mortgage payments, they could just sell the house and make their mortgage back and then some. Lenders, banks, financial institutions, they noticed that.
And because there were fewer and fewer defaults early in the 2000s, mortgage lenders became more and more liberal.
Standards got pretty lax because, in a way, the banks were caught up in this same collective illusion. Lenders didn't always require proof of income or documentation. People lied on 10 to 15% of mortgage applications, according to Chris Mayer, professor of real estate at Columbia Business School.
And so the lack of diligence meant that people were making, you know, giving loans to anybody who walked in the door and wanted them.
Heidi Kisama remembers asking one buyer, why did you buy this second home?
And he goes, you know, honestly, I was just driving by and the new home builder flags were flapping in the wind and they said, you can buy this home, no money down. And he said, basically, kind of before I knew it, I purchased a home because I didn't need anything. I didn't need proof of income. They said the lender would put it together.
The amount of residential mortgage debt in the U.S. doubled between 2000 and 2008. Andy Howitt is a research economist and senior vice president at the New York Fed.
Mortgage credit flowing to people who controlled multiple properties got to be nearly half of all mortgage credit flowing at the peak. So there was a lot of money going to people who were extremely optimistic about prices.
And of course, as we all know, those prices did not keep rising. Around 2006, prices started to fall. And the quickest to get into the housing market were the quickest to get out.
As prices started to turn, they exacerbated the downward cycle by dumping properties on the market quickly and in large numbers.
The same mania that drove prices up started driving them down.
You would drive through neighborhoods and everyone had a for rent or for sale sign. I mean, everybody. It was crazy to see.
Realtor Chris Bishop. Bad mortgages set off a chain reaction through the financial system, triggering the Great Recession. People started losing their jobs. More people couldn't pay their mortgages.
Las Vegas was what they, you know, they literally called it the epicenter for foreclosures. And it wasn't like, you know, it was just a few people in the neighborhood. I don't care who you are. Everyone was dealing with it. Either you were affected or a family member was affected or a friend was affected. Everyone had something.
Heidi Kisama remembers abandoned homes were just everywhere.
I call it the brown lawn syndrome, that when you would drive through these communities, they were just parched lawns all over throughout communities. So it looked awful. It looked like a bomb went off.
These days, things are a lot different. The percentage of seriously underwater homeowners nationally has fallen from 31.4% in 2012 to about 10% today. Foreclosures are at an 11-year low. Banks are more regulated, lenders more careful about handing out loans. Even Las Vegas has a thriving real estate market now, says Christopher Bishop.
We feel like we can breathe again.
And the mania of the 2000s is a memory. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Divided Decade is the name of our year-long project, The Financial Crisis and How It Changed Us. Tell us on Instagram. We are at Marketplace APM using the hashtag how we changed.